This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, we are listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf, your host. And today we're going to cover a little bit of news, everything from cougars and pandas, and dogs and cats. But we're also going to talk about some training issues and just go through a few things people have been asking me lately. So to start with, I got some exciting footage. I'm going to post it to Deb Wolf, Pet Expert on Facebook. And it's just someone I know with a black lab that I know went out his back door as usual, as he normally does, you know, last thing in the evening in his bathrobe, right? With the dog, let the dog have a bathroom break before bed. And they go inside and his partner's away and she's checking his security cam and she calls him and says, wait a minute, you got to check what's going on out there. It's the middle of the night. And there's three cougars following the exact path the dog had been walking on just a little time before. And it turns out the next day he, you know, calls the authorities and talks to his neighbors. And everybody has footage of these three quite large mountain lions, cougars. We're not talking about the glammed out ladies. No, cougars, actual cougars, wandering around people's backyards, licking in their windows, following dogs and cat scents, probably. Looked like it was following the scent of his dog, big black lab. But a big black lab is no match for three cougars. I'm sure you realize that. No dog is a match for three cougars. When we get these freakish stories, like a while ago, there was this, I think I can find it. I was looking at it the other day and I was like, did this really happen? It was in Puerto Quitlam. Yeah, that's the story. The dog was half a cat size, basically, a teacup poodle sort of a thing in Poco. Dog's name is Fergus, and he's a 6-pound poodle, they say. Red poodle, cute as can be, living in Port Coquitlam, which is a suburb. Like, it's busy. A lot of houses and cars and stuff, stores. Anyway, shopping malls, you know, not the wilderness. But anyway, so Ferguson is near the mountains, though, and everything in Canada can be beautifully close to nature. So this is one of those suburbs that is close to nature. But anyway, so this little teacup poodle actually chased a bear out. So that can happen. And bears are often afraid of dogs. It's true. But cougars, yeah. Even though some dogs are trained to treat cougars, and you've seen that on footage, probably National Geographic or some show on TV where the hunting dogs, hound dog, they come along and they pick up the scent of a cougar or a raccoon or something and they tree the animal and then the hunter either scares it off or shoots it. Okay, you've all seen that. But that's very controlled circumstances. And if that dog were to be walking along or even with his buddies and come upon three cougars, well, they would probably be up in the trees and they would probably come down and hurt the dogs. But at any rate, these three were hunting. They're walking along slowly through a lovely backyard, la-di-da-di-da, going from house to house, looking in the windows, checking out the pet bowls. So if you live in an area that has cougars, mountain lions, you got to think about this. They come out at night and they're looking for pets and they're looking for food. Never feed your animals outside. Be very, very careful. They're definitely out there right now. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. Talk about some cute little pandas, baby panda born in Germany. Stay tuned on Animal Party. Stay tuned. This is Deborah Wolf, host of Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. You know the expression, cats have 9 lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org. Hello, you're back on Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf, and I want to tell you about a baby panda. Baby panda was born in actually twins, twin girls, and a little while ago, the same mom had twin boys, the first ever born in Germany, and now this is her second go at giving birth, and she gave birth successfully to two baby girls, and one of them is now ready to be presented. So for the first time, the public is getting to see this little darling. If you like pandas, and I mean, who doesn't? You might want to look it up on the internet and check out the baby panda in Germany at the zoo. There's also a couple of adult pandas arriving to the United States. We've been a year without pandas at the Smithsonian, and two are on their way. So very, very soon you'll be able to see them in America. It must be quite a trippy situation, you know, for a panda or any animal to be living in a certain country climate, listening to certain language, used to certain routines, and then all of a sudden transported somewhere completely different. Now, in the case of the pandas, the care is very scripted. They have to get bamboo flown in to eat, and there's all kinds of rules about where they can go and the pen that they have, and etc. So their habitat is very, very, very similar worldwide in these artificial settings. It's duplicated over and over and over to the exact specifications of the Chinese government, which has them on loan. So that's how that works. But it's still hearing the different languages, and it's just got to be so different. And in most cases, that's not the case. When an animal is sent from one zoo to another, it's a completely new world, completely new climate. And sometimes it's good. Lots of times it's good. They're sent from a place that's war-torn or has mines or pollution or where the animals are hunted almost to extinction. And then some of them end up thriving in captivity and can even someday be returned to their homeland. That's all great. There's lots of projects that are wonderful. But sometimes people make really bad choices, like animals that are suited to a desert climate being sent to a rainforest and the opposite, or hot animals that need a hot climate being sent to extremely cold climates, like elephants in some cases, and the other way around, cold animals being polar bears in Dubai. I mean, some things just don't make sense. And you can artificially control the climate and all that the best of your ability, but the animal would be better off somewhere else. I've seen horses that were really suffering in certain climates, and the people tried so hard to take care of them, but the care was so intense. And the same for llamas. I once was on the show and I had a guest veterinarian from Florida, and he was saying that llamas put his kids through college because keeping a llama in Florida is so expensive. And I was really surprised at that, because in my climate up here in BC, they're really cheap. You know, I mean, you have a few costs. You got vaccinations like any animal, and you got hoof trimming as needed like any animal, unless you're able to provide it with gravel surfaces and things like that. So that is less of an issue, but you still need some kind of care that way. And when they're young, usually you would want to neuter the males and probably get rid of something. They have this one tooth, this nasty tooth, that normally is extracted when they're being neutered or filed off, rather. And that's a tooth that is, it's kind of a strange thing about the llama. All their teeth look like you would think, sort of like camel teeth or horse teeth, sort of big and chunky, and they go vertical, up and down, just like ours do. Except they got one tooth in the back, very back upper, that comes out, and it almost looks like some kind of specialized metal saw. Seriously, that's what it looks like. But it's really, really skinny, and it comes straight out down, and then it almost does a 45-degree angle and cuts across. It's the strangest thing, and it is a nasty, nasty tooth if it connects with another llama or anybody. So normally that's removed when they're neutered. And then when you have a llama in British Columbia, where I live, or Washington State, Oregon, this type of climate, you really don't have much care at all. In fact, they're notoriously effortless, and they are often kept, like I did, as protectors of your herd. So you have some valuable herd that you want to keep safe, little munchkin animals or something, you know, alpacas or pygmy goats or something sweet, but you don't want the coyotes and the wolves to take them, or the bears, or even raccoons. You know, you want your baby pygmy goats all safe and sound. So you get a couple of llamas and they watch your herd. So here, they're kind of easy. But if you put them in the wrong climate, not so easy. So I think it's worth considering when you're getting a dog, if you're going to be spending a lot of time in Florida on the beach, do you really want that big shaggy dog that's meant for the Arctic? If you're going to be spending a lot of time hiking in the woods, do you want a hairless dog that's going to need a coat? I mean, maybe you do, but maybe you don't, right? If you're expecting your dog to spend a lot of time outdoors, figure out where that's going to be and get the coat that suits it. Get the dog that suits the climate. Now, no dog can be left outside all the time, right? They need you. They need territory. They need their home. They need their family. They don't want to be on a chain in a yard, and they don't want to be in a doghouse somewhere where they can't even protect the house, where they're excluded from the house. That makes the dog kind of cuckoo, because his main job is to protect you. And if he can't protect you in the home, then that's not a good setup for mental well-being and a positive connection with your dog. It makes him feel like he's AWOL all the time, like his duty is being neglected. So that's an insecurity he won't overcome easily. So you don't want that. You want to make sure your dog can always protect the house and always have access to the house. Maybe not all of the house, maybe not your fancy dining room or your upstairs bedroom, but something. And then that the dog always has shelter, water, heat, if it's cold, air conditioning, if it's not, a cool place to be, shade. These are important things. And a dog can tip over its water and dehydrate and get really ill. So you have to make sure the water is chained and not tippable, the shelter is sturdy, that they won't burn their feet if it's a really hot climate. And when you're dealing with cold, all the same things in reverse, that the water doesn't freeze, that the animal isn't cold, that it's insulated, that they have warm blankets, this sort of thing. And there's some great products out there, some things that are designed for safety. So if you're lost in the woods, you can take this blanket and it will use your own body heat and reflect it back at you and stuff like that. For dogs, great stuff. So look on Amazon, look where you shop for pets, and see if you can make your dog a little more comfortable in the winter or a little cooler in the summer, because there's a lot out there now. Okay, we're going to go to one more break and come back and talk about cats. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. You're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And I kind of find it interesting sometimes how the law can treat animals. Different countries have different laws and different regulations. There's one municipality here that treats all square-faced dogs that look like pit bulls as if they're pit bulls, and all pit bulls, Rottweilers, etc., as if they've already been declared dangerous dogs, and they apply rules to them as if they've already had a couple of strikes against them, hurt a couple of other people or animals, when they're innocent. So that's an interesting, different take on how to apply the law. Some places are against dogs altogether, certain breeds. Some insurance companies won't insure certain breeds if you have them. It used to be if you had a big dog, you got a break in your insurance because you were less likely to be robbed. I think the insurance companies have done a number on us on that one. But I found some quirky laws, as I do once in a while, and I just thought these are so funny. So cats in Columbus, Georgia, cats may not yowl after 9 p.m. No, quiet your kitty. Now, they have no laws against purring or caterwauling or meowing or screeching or anything else, but they can't yowl. Yow. You know what a yowl sounds like. It's actually normally the sound of two Romeo and Juliet cats trying to connect. That's the yowl. So, okay, cats may not yowl after 9 p.m. in Columbus, Georgia. Not sure how they're going to enforce that one. And here's another one, hard to enforce. In Barber, North Carolina, you have to keep it civil, okay? You cannot let your cats and your dogs fight with each other. That is prohibited by law. So, I mean, that's kind of cool because if you have a dog that's out to chase or hunt cats, it's against the law there. You have to keep that dog on a leash, which I think is good. But then again, I've seen cats who hate dogs. I have. There was this cat, Smokey, and he'd go for any dog and he'd lull them. He'd sit there all quiet and calm and look real innocent. And then at the last minute, he'd spring into action, extend his back legs, and one, two, three. I even caught it on camera once when he attacked my blue heeler back then, a different dog than I have now, a dog named Squeak, female blue heeler, a rescue dog. And you see her deke like four different times as he tries to karate slice her. Of course, he missed, and she wasn't even chasing him. So the two of them made their peace after that. He learned she's faster than he is, and she learned don't mess with that cat. Don't even go near that cat. But I've seen other cats do it too, and I've heard of cats. Like this one cat that when I met it, it was already quite elderly, but I heard that when it was quite a bit younger, a large domestic long-haired cat, gray, beautiful, silky fur, lovely cat, but kind of a couch potato. Didn't do much. Went in the backyard when the owner was there, hardly at all, and then back in the house. You know, always wanted to go back inside. Very easygoing, like to lay about cat, but it really, really loved its place under the bed. So one day, a friend came over with a little teacup poodle, insisting, oh, my dog loves cats, my dog loves cats, so the story goes. And the owner said, well, my cat doesn't love dogs. I wouldn't let him near her. Of course, the owner, oblivious, thinking, oh, all cats will submit to dogs. All cats will tolerate dogs. No, that's not true. When faced with a dog half their size who's rude, a cat will not tolerate a dog. So that's what happened. The dog went running under the bed. Hello, hello, nice to meet you. Or maybe I'm going to chase you. Hard to say. No one could see it was under the bed. And the cat says, we are not friends. Whap! And the dog starts screaming and screaming and running around and screaming because it was a cherished little poodle type dog that had never, ever had a bad day in its life. And this was its first bad day. First lesson, not all cats want to be bugged by you, little dog. So that's something I think people need to know and think about. Not all people want to be bugged by your dog. Not all people want to be bugged by your cat. And sometimes pet owners can be a little bit oblivious to that. You know, you're walking along with your grandmother and her cane, or your little baby grandchild or child and your sister's kid or whatever, and you're holding their hand. They're toddling along, and now up comes a dog at full pace, ready to greet you. And you say to the owner, hey, can you get your dog on leash? And they say, it's okay, he's friendly. Oh, terrific. We want to be covered in mud. We want to be plastered to the ground. We want the things we're carrying to be thrown in the air. We want your dog's saliva all over our baby and our mom. No, we don't want that. So if they're going to walk your dog off leash, your dog should come to you when called. You should be able to see there's people ahead that probably don't want your dog's exuberant, boisterous greeting. You know, get them to come and heal. Put them on a leash so the people can relax. And then if they really do want it, if they say, can we pet your dog? Oh, by all means. Yes, you can pet your dog. That whole thing just taught your dog good manners. And if your dog is rude, well, for sure, get it on a leash. Make it heal. Make it heal and sit to earn these people's attention. Don't let it bamboozle them with boisterous greetings and rudeness. That's not fair. And it kind of tarnishes the image of all the dogs. And it makes people want leash rules to be enforced everywhere. And I hate that. I hate that for a whole lot of reasons, because I think pet dogs, for the most part, when they're well-behaved and people scoop after them and they leash them as needed, are the best thing a park could have or a beach could have. It's like an unpaid security service. Nobody messes around when there's a couple of big dogs fetching in a park because they see that dog running, moving. They see that jaw. They see those legs. They see that if that dog decided to stop them, it could. And they don't mess with you. the park becomes so much safer for everybody. I don't cut through parks when I'm walking alone as a woman if I don't have a dog with me. There's no way. There could be anybody behind any of those trees. And I don't think men realize this. You know, they don't realize how women must negotiate life. If I have a big dog, I can go anywhere. And that's probably why I notice this so much. I can go for a walk on the beach alone at night. I can go camping by myself. I can go to any park, any street, downtown, suburb, doesn't matter. If I got a big dog with me, I can walk anywhere and nobody's going to mess with me. They're just going to pick somebody else. Well, that's kind of how big men walk through life. And that's not really fair. So when a dog's loose in a park or on a beach, it's like having a security guard just standing around, just enjoying the beach himself, ready if you need him. And it always makes me feel better. So I know lately I've been talking about worst dog on the beach, and it's actually more worst dog owner on the beach, giving out an award each week that I see one. So I went to the beach, and now it's past September, so now all the beaches are dog friendly again. Which, like I say, it makes the beaches so much calmer. It gets rid of the troublemakers. They don't want to mess around. Yes, so much calmer, so much better. So there were a few dogs, a couple of big dogs, barking a little too much and fetching a little too much, but no big deal. Could choose to sit away from them. And then there were some little dogs doing their thing and lots of different dogs over the course of the day. But the one thing I noticed, the worst pet owner at the Beach Award this week does not go to a dog owner. No, it goes to a cat owner. It's a What Are You Thinking Award to this woman. And I checked her out. I made sure that this is accurate reporting. This woman chose to take her cat from either a car or a bus. I do not know how she arrived. It would have been at least a 10-minute walk, at least, to the beach. And then 500, just shy of 500 steps down through the forest. And yeah, it's beautiful. Trees, giant trees, and it's rainforest. It's absolutely glorious. Down to the bottom, and then you're on the beach. And what did she do? She brought a cat. She brought a cat on a harness and a leash with no carrier, no cage, no safe place. That's what she did. Not only that, but she was wearing itty-bitty little bikini halter top, right? And so this kitten, because it wasn't even an adult cat, it was maybe eyeballing it 6 months, 7 months, something like that. So long and lean, domestic short-haired, mostly black, long and lean, interesting-looking cat, sort of an Abyssinian face, beautiful cat. Nothing wrong with the cat. And the cat behaved impeccably. And some may say, well, you got to start as you mean to go on. If you want your cat to be cool in places like that, you got to take it there. I agree. But no carrier, no safe place, walking through coyote country, walking around off-leash dogs, walking through 500 steps of rainforest with every predator that you don't see as a human on the trail, every predator watching that little meal that you're carrying. That's what they see. You know, like when we used to watch Roadrunner Coyote, and the coyote would be really hungry and he'd look at the Roadrunner and he'd see the Roadrunner stuffed with an apple in his mouth on a roasting tray. That's what they're looking at when they see your little cat. Yes, a cat is a predator, but it is also prey to an awful lot of animals that live in the forest. And those animals are still there. Just because you don't see them doesn't mean they're not there. And your cat is leaving a trail, a scent. So they're going to pick up on it. It's just very hard to imagine a cat being calm and relaxed at a beach with people and noise and music and frisbees and tennis balls and children and off-leash dogs chasing each other, wrestling with each other, darting over logs, playing fetch in the surf and on the land. And all this cat has is this almost bare-shouldered woman to cling to. Now, I saw, it was there, I watched it. I couldn't help but watch it. It's like a train wreck. You can't take your eyes off it. What's going to happen? Is a dog going to chase it? Is a cat going to get scared by a helicopter flying over or an eagle? Oh, that's another thing. Birds of prey, eagles all over the place in the sky, lovely, but not for the cat, right? This is not good. Not good for the little kitty. So it's basically like taking your cat to a war zone and expecting it to calm down. And you've got no, if she just brought a carrier, just a nice, sturdy, travel certified little box, you know, with the cage door, but so dark and safe with a little blanket inside and maybe a cat toy and some water. Didn't see the cat get water once. That would be good. Then the cat, if it's scared, or if dogs become rude, or if there's some incident or other, the cat can go in its little carrier and be totally safe. And then the cat will learn that, and will learn that it's always safe with its owner, and that its owner always provides safety, and that it doesn't matter where it is, it will be safe. But without the carrier, you're just teaching it so many bad habits. And she was just so lucky that nothing happened. I mean, I could easily picture a dog chasing the cat, even just to say hello, even a friendly dog, but just too boisterous, right? Even something like that. So the cat panics, scratches the lady, hangs on for dear life. Lady's not wearing much. Now she's screaming because she's just been scratched and maybe jumping around. The cat jumps down and maybe a bunch of dogs kill the cat. Or maybe the cat just takes off into the rainforest with a collar or a harness and a leash trailing it to be caught by, who knows, but maybe hit by a car, maybe saved by another person, maybe, but not very likely. I mean, even a raccoon would make a meal of the cat in those woods. And the raccoons are, you could see them in the daytime. So everything is there. You've got to make life safe for your animals. If you're going to want a cool cat or a cool dog that can go anywhere and do anything, set it up for safety. Set these training opportunities up so there can be no incident, no accident, no missing kitty. I really don't want to read on the Facebook page, I was at the beach and I lost my cat. Has anybody seen my cat? It would be heartbreaking because that cat's going to be a fantastic cat. And I'm sure that woman loves that cat. To want to bother to bring it all the way down to the beach and carry it all the way up those 500 steps, she must. But please, get yourself a carrier if you're going to have a cat that you take places. All right, everybody, that's been our show for today. From me, Deb Wolf, Animal Party and Pet Life Radio, be good to your animals. Ciao, meow.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.